Welcome to the Sparks of Hope Shooting for Success Summit. You will discover innovative talks for personal and business expansion with leading experts. Today, be ready to be infused with hope, strength, and confidence, and find powerful direction to lead you on a path of success. Join our 21 world-class speakers and experience inspiration, hope for your future, and an elevation of your desires. Inspired Choices Network, our summit hosts, are excited to have you here.
Pulverized, demolished, shattered. Looking in my rearview mirror, what I know to be true is that grief is a wrecking ball, and it will slam through your life when it's least expected, leaving you on the floor amidst the rubble, shattered, shaken, and broken, not knowing where your security lies, your love, your sense of belonging. Grief really is a wrecking ball. Now I want to share with you how I know that this is true. I want to invite you to close your eyes and think back. Just imagine a little girl, about 7 years old, with big blue eyes and blonde pigtails and wearing her blue polyester overalls, because it was the 70s, that are covered in mushrooms and ladders. And she's wearing her little red running shoes and carrying her Peanuts lunchbox. And this little girl was such a happy girl, and she loved school, and she loved her family, and she really loved all of her friends. And one day she went to school, and the mean girl, we're going to call her Stacy, said to her, "You can't play with us today. We don't like you. Go away." And this little girl, she was devastated. She didn't know what she'd done. She didn't know what she'd said. Was she wearing the wrong color? Had she smiled funny? And the girls looked at her and said, "Go away. You can't play with us today." And this little girl was really, really sad and devastated. And she ran to hide under a tree and cried. At the end of the day, she hopped on the bus and went home and just hoped that today was just a blip on the screen. The next day she went to school, didn't know what to expect. And mean girl Stacy said to her, "Come play with us. You're part of the group. We like you today. You are awesome." And the little girl thought, "Whew, thank goodness I dodged a bullet. They must like me today. And yesterday, I don't know what happened, but everything's back and I belong." The next day, the little girl came to school and mean girl Stacy looked at her and said, "We don't like you. Go away. You can't play with us. And by the way, you can't talk to anybody else either, because nobody likes you." Once again, this little girl was devastated, and she walked away with tears streaming down her face, wondering what she had done. Well, this behavior by the mean girls carried on for 6 long years. Every day that this little girl went to school, she didn't know if she was going to have friends or not. She didn't know if she'd be part of the group or would be alone. She was living in fear from day to day, and it was crumbling her foundation. And that little girl, she was me. And I'll tell you, those 6 years of bullying, they left their mark. They shattered my foundation. It crumbled. And I went from being a happy girl with lots of dreams and aspirations to being a little girl who was very broken and shy and fearful. And it took a big hit on my self-esteem, my self-worth, my self-confidence, and all of these things combined. I didn't know it at the time, but they were grief. I was mourning not having friends. I was grieving not belonging. And most of all, I was grieving just not being enough. And so I internalized all of that, and the grief compounded. You see, as humans, we are all wired to survive. And part of that survival is connecting and belonging. And when we're not part of a group, we really feel it. And we will do anything, and I mean anything, to get back in with the group. So think about it in the old days, let's go way back to caveman days, right? Everyone had to connect and be part of that group. They relied on each other for survival. They hunted, they gathered, they defended themselves. And when somebody was someone they didn't want anymore, they put them out to pasture, and that person usually died. So bring it fast forward to today. And when we get bullied in the playground and we get ostracized from the group, or we get ostracized from our friends, part of us dies inside and we grieve that. But then we start coming up with coping mechanisms to help us get through the day. And so for me, I became a people pleaser. Quite honestly, if you look in the dictionary, you're going to see this face. I was a people pleaser. I also became quite a high achiever, because I learned very quickly that for me to get positive feedback, if I did well in school, then I would get really positives from my teachers and from my parents. And so that's where I got my love and positive sense of belonging. I also became quite a control freak. And I figured, falsely, that if I could control my environment, control the people in it, control what was going on, then nobody would leave me and I would be connected and I would belong. I also stopped putting myself first. I put myself last. I would do everything for everyone else, but never would I ask for anything for myself. My self-esteem and self-worth was so far down that toilet. I just never even thought about putting myself out there. And conflict? Oh my goodness. I would run from conflict. I avoided it like the plague. And I would actually take a problem or something that was upsetting me, and I would chew on it like a cow chews on cud for days and weeks at a time. Gnawing on the problem, fiddling it around, making it so that I was okay with whatever the situation was. It was really not a way to live. And quite honestly, it was just adding more grief to my plate and compounding it inside of me. And being out in the world as a people pleaser, high achiever, control freak, avoiding conflict, that was really just putting a Band-Aid on the wound of grief. It was a wrecking ball. It was another wrecking ball of grief. And it really impacted how I showed up in the world as I got older. I wasn't as big of a risk taker. I would shy away from anything that I might fail at or that might hurt me emotionally. I really played small. I didn't put myself out there as much as I should have and as much as I could have, because quite honestly, I was capable, but I didn't really believe it. And I had this huge feeling of imposter syndrome. As much as people would say to me, Margaret, you're really good at what you do and you can do anything, I really felt like a fraud. And worst of all, I became a professional chameleon. I could change the colors of who I was to suit anybody. And it was definitely not a way to live. And I lost sight of who I was deep down inside. I lost sight of Margaret. And the grief just kept piling up and piling up inside of me like a pressure cooker. So fast forward a decade or two from there, and I met the man of my dreams. And we had a whirlwind romance, and we got married within 2 years of knowing each other. And I thought, wow, amazing. I'm going to have my own container of love and belonging and connection. And most of all, I was going to be chosen. I was going to be important, and I'm going to be able to build up my foundation again. I'm going to be able to build up my self-esteem and my self-confidence and my self-love, because I'm going to be part of this beautiful marriage. And it was beautiful for the first little while. And then we wanted to have children, and we got diagnosed with unexplained infertility. So for 6 years, there's that 6 years again, I was poked and prodded by so many doctors and so many needles. I had bruises all over my stomach where I was giving myself needles. And it was heartbreaking. There were some really dark days, and numerous procedures that we tried did not work. And I sunk into a lot of darkness and a lot of depression. And then the day that we found out that we were pregnant, I didn't believe them. I was like, no, I can't lift the hope of that. I can't believe that I'm pregnant. But I was. And not only was I pregnant, I was pregnant with twins. Twins. I was going to have two babies. It was going to be incredible. Our family was going to be complete. And I was going to be able to just keep building that foundation again. But the universe had other plans. At 5.5 months pregnant, I went into labor. And my daughter Lily was born, and she was our warrior. She was stable. and quite comfortable in her incubator at 1 pound, 3 ounces. My son, Isaac, he was our wounded. He was born at 1 pound, 5 ounces, and he was connected to so many IVs and monitors. He was beeping all over the place. And unfortunately, Isaac suffered a grade 4 brain bleed, and his poor little skull expanded by 2 centimeters in diameter because his brain was full of blood. And the doctors told us that he would always live in pain, that he would be permanently affected by this. He would be physically and mentally challenged. And they quite honestly didn't know if he was going to survive. And we talked to everybody. In those moments, we talked to every doctor. We looked for any sense of hope that we could have. But after 3 days, we made the decision to pull him off of life support. And on a dark November evening, with the rain howling outside, I got to hold my son for the first and the last time as he took his last breath. Grief wrecking ball. My foundation was pulverized, and I had never been so broken. I was overcome with grief, and I didn't know what to do. Here I was, a brand new mom, something I had wanted my entire life. And I had a little girl struggling to survive that needed me, and I had a little boy that I had to grieve. How do you grieve and love at the same time? Well, you can't. You cannot feel 2 emotions at the same time. So I chose to bury my grief, and I chose to love my daughter. She needed a mom. So I had to put my big girl panties on and show up as the mom that she needed and she deserved, and the mom that I wanted to be for her. And after 6.5 months of being in the hospital, yes, she was in the hospital for 6.5 months, numerous surgeries, lots of close calls. We must have almost lost her numerous times. But after 6.5 months, she was stable and she was able to come home. And I thought, oh, finally, I get to have my fairy tale. I get to have my family and my happily ever after. Yeah, that didn't happen either. I wish I could tell you I had the fairy tale ending, but I didn't. My marriage was crumbling. It had really taken a hit through the 6 years of infertility. And now we were raising a daughter that had a lot of additional challenges. And over the years, the lies and omissions started to creep in. The trust disappeared. And after a while, I realized that I was the only one fighting for our marriage. There was no more sense of belonging, no more connection. I didn't feel like I was enough. I wasn't being chosen. And I felt like I was that little girl back on the playground all over again. It was another big grief wrecking ball for me. And our fairy tale marriage ended 16 years after it started when I walked out the door and I chose to leave my marriage behind. And looking back, I see that that was the very first step towards becoming unshakable within myself. But I didn't make the decision for me at the time. I made it for my daughter. I wanted to be a good role model for her. I wanted her to see her mom as happy and loving. And I wanted to show her what a healthy, loving relationship was. And I certainly couldn't do that in my marriage. And so I chose Lily. I chose her because I wanted to be someone that she could look up to. But by default, in choosing her, I chose me too. And looking back, I know that that was the first step of moving forward in becoming unshakable. And I was able to start rebuilding my unshakable foundation. Now, some people might be saying, Margaret, what does it mean to be unshakable? So I'm going to give you a quick definition. Being unshakable means that you can know and love yourself, warts and all, fully and completely. You accept yourself for who you are. You show up authentically in all areas of your life, whether it's in business or with your friends or at home. You are authentic. And let me tell you, that takes a huge weight off trying to be the chameleon for everybody. You also get to acknowledge and lean into your strengths, and you get to use those strengths to become the person that you are meant to be. And this is the biggest one, and this was the first step I took, was you get to face your fears and do it scared anyway. So you accept yourself, you show up authentically, you lean into your strengths, and you face your fears and do it anyway. Those are the components of becoming unshakable. And I was just starting out on my journey. So over the next 5 years, 6 years, Lily and I, we were happy. We had far more laughter than we did tears. And we would talk about Isaac all the time. Sometimes we would crawl into our pajamas and we'd curl up on her bed and we would have popcorn and we'd lay there and look at the ceiling and we'd talk about him. And we'd wonder what he was doing up in heaven or what our life would have been like had he been with us. And we would laugh and we would cry, but we would talk about him. And I thought naively that if I could talk about Isaac, then I must be okay. I must be over my grief. I must have moved on. And if anyone knows about the grief field, you don't ever move on or get over your grief. Your grief is a lifelong journey. But I was under an illusion at that time that I was okay. So enter my TED Talk in 2021. Bucket list moment. I was so excited. Right? So excited to be doing this TED Talk. I'd wanted to do it since I'd ever seen it on YouTube. And I was like, I will be on that red dot. And when I was chosen to be a TED speaker, I wanted to share my story about Isaac. I wanted to give people hope. I wanted to let them know that it was possible to be happy again after losing a child. But I'll tell you something. Wanting to tell your story and actually telling your story, two totally different things, two totally different experiences. And as I sat down to write my story, the floodgates of emotions opened, and it was like a fire hose of emotions coming out that I couldn't have stopped if I tried. Crying and writing and writing and crying. For 3 months, that was my life. I went through so many Kleenexes. I probably should have bought shares in the company and I would have been rich by now. But for 3 months, all I did was cry and write and cry and write. And it became very cathartic and very healing. Now, I had done all the work. I'd done all the reading on the personal growth and learning about how to heal from grief. And I'd done the journaling and the writing and the mental work. But what I found is when I was having these deep emotional releases, I was feeling so much lighter afterwards. And like this physical space was opening up inside of me. And I realized that emotional release was the key to moving me forward in healing. Emotional release was when I started to rise. And that is the very first step in becoming unshakable. You need to have this emotional release. And as I made more space inside of myself and felt this lightness, I started to discover that I was more than just the grief that I was carrying, but who was I? And so I dove deeply into my values and I dove deeply into who I was and wondered, who am I? And as I did that, I learned all the things that made me tick, all the things that were my passion. And I took the big leap and I quit my full-time government job. Got a little bit of flack for that. And I started my own company coaching and I loved it. And I started to thrive. And as I started to thrive, that was the second step in becoming unshakable, really connecting with what was important to me. And through my own professional development, I also got certified as a vision board facilitator. Yes, that is actually something that you can do. And I was able to create this vision board. And it was incredible because I was able to tap back in to the little girl that used to be on the playground, the one that was happy and confident and felt like she was enough and had all these dreams. And I created this vision. It was incredible. And I started taking action towards this vision. And as I did so, I started to soar. And soaring is the third step towards becoming unshakable. First we rise, then we thrive, and now we soar. And as I was able to soar, I got back to who I was. I rediscovered me, and I fully stepped into who I am, this beautiful, perfectly imperfect, unshakable me. And what I realized is that this unshakable part of me, she was there all along. I just couldn't see her. Because I was looking outside of myself for validation and acceptance and trying to build my foundation from the outside. And it just created a very false and shaky foundation that would be blown over in the wind. And what I realized was that I was the one person, I was the one critical piece that would help me create this unshakable foundation. You see, life happens and we get cracks in our foundation. And it doesn't really matter how strong we make them, we are all vulnerable. And we will get knocked off our foundation at even our strongest days. Sometimes it'll be just a corner. Sometimes it'll take out two walls. And sometimes we will be pulverized and our foundation will crumble and become rubble beneath our feet, like it did when I lost Isaac. But we are always, always able to go through that rubble and start to build our foundation up again. And so that's what I did. I looked inwards and I found that part of me that could help me rebuild my foundation. And now I get to help other women rebuild their foundation as well. And it's part of the most rewarding work that I do. Looking in the rearview mirror of my life, I know this much to be true. We all are born with our own foundation. And what keeps us strong on the outside, we need to be able to look inside of ourselves, to be vulnerable, to feel and process and explore the deepest and most painful of our emotions. And that is what starts us from to become unshakable within our own foundation. The moment I became unshakable was the day that I realized, sitting at my desk, writing and crying and creating my TED talk, that nobody could fix my foundation, and that everything that I needed was inside of me to allow me to rise, thrive, and soar. I just had to look for her. I had to choose me. I had to trust me. And the moment that you choose you, you get to become unshakable too. Thank you.
Thank you for joining this motivating talk on the Sparks of Hope Shooting for Success Summit. Inspired Choices Network and our expert speakers are excited to connect with you and learn about your hopes and desires to lead you to greater success. If you would like to learn more about everything Inspired Choices Network offers, including future summits, please email us at info@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.